You're listening to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. It's the best kind of gossip on demand every week. Girl talk, no filter. Here's your sis, Alessandra G.
Welcome back to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. It's Friday, and you guys know what that means. Well, yeah, it's the weekend, but more importantly, it's another segment of Friday Features. Thanks for tuning in. This podcast is kindly sponsored by DistroKid. DistroKid is an independent digital music distribution service. That's a mouthful, I know. So what does that mean? If you're an artist or someone who works on music, they distribute your music to all streaming platforms like Spotify so that your fans and listeners can hear it. You can even add and pay your collaborators using their system. I don't know about you guys, but I really don't like doing math, and they do all of the accounting for you, so get on that. Go get DistroKid if you don't have it and find out what you're missing. Be sure to use my code for 7% off your first year's membership. DistroKid.com/VIP/AlwaysAlessandra. Today we're chatting with Theo Kandel. Have you seen the bluegrass version of Mr. Brightside on TikTok? Yeah, he's the genius behind that, guys. Plus, he has some incredible original music and more music on the way. He's opening up about his upcoming EP, social media, and so much more. This is an exclusive Friday feature.
Welcome to Friday Features. Get to know your favorite artists, influencers, and musicians exclusively on That's the Tea with Alessandra G.
Hey Theo, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. How about you?
It's going well. You know, I can't complain. I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel with this COVID shit. I just can't wait to stop talking about it. And I think everything's good. So how are things by you?
Going pretty well. I just moved to Los Angeles like 2 days ago. I'm sitting in my house, empty living room. So if you get any good natural reverb, that's what's happening. I actually drove out with my roommate and our dads flew down to Nashville. So we turned it into a whole cross country road trip and passed through Texas and El Paso and Scottsdale, and it feels like the whole world to get here. So it's been a long journey, but pretty awesome.
Yeah, I can only imagine. You know, I think that's pretty awesome. I would love to do like a full trek from Jersey to LA once, just because I feel like I know people who have, and it's insane. It takes a long time, but I just think it would be fun, like stopping in random places you didn't think you would ever go to. Why not? So
totally. We had some of the best ribs outside of Memphis, and actually in West Memphis in Arkansas. Side of the road, Ray's famous, world famous barbecue. That was one of our, we stopped at all the world famous places on the way.
Oh my God. That's so funny. There's like a weird place by LAX. Like you're about to get into the airport and it says world famous. I think it says burgers or something, and I have never heard of it. But you know, I feel like when it says world's famous, it could be a lie, but you got to try it.
I totally agree, because you know, there's so many world famous places I've never heard of, but only one of them can be the best in the world. And some places have that on the front, and I respect that.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if this is exactly false advertising, but I respect it. And I'll give you a chance. So you got through a lot of different states. You saw some sights. What was the highlight of that little road trip? Was there, besides the ribs, was there a place that, you know, you stopped at that you didn't think you would visit or really like and ended up enjoying? Or what was kind of like a highlight for you?
Well, we stopped for 2 nights at my roommate's girlfriend's ranch. Her family owns a ranch in Aledo, Texas. That was awesome. I had never really been to Texas before, so we did some roping. We did some horseback riding. I had the best brisket of my entire life, and it was just a blast. It was really cool. I'm from New York City, so the first time I mowed a lawn was like in Nashville 2 years ago. So I'm just excited to see more of the country. That was definitely a big highlight. I guess another one, we stayed with my aunt and uncle in Scottsdale, Arizona, and it's just an alien world. I mean, there's all these cacti on the side of these amazing mountains. And so those have been two of the main highlights, I think.
Yeah, that sounds like a hell of a trip. And I would definitely love to go back to Arizona. So shout out to Arizona. You guys know what's up. I like cactuses slash cacti. I think that's how you, right?
Yeah, I don't really know. I've been saying cacti, but then it seems weird. Cactuses sounds right, but feels weird too. So
yeah, we'll have to get a grammar lesson elsewhere. We don't really know which one it is, but let us know. But I do want to get into the music. I know, you know, you're making the trek. You made the trek from Nashville to LA, two big music cities, and you have a lot going on right now, especially for someone who just got there 2 days ago. Your new single, I Don't Want to Think About That. What was the inspiration behind that track? I really like the name. I think it's relatable. So tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, so it kind of ties into the whole EP, which is called Spin Cycle, and it's coming out June 18th. And the whole EP is kind of about, it's a breakup EP, a concept breakup EP, and also music videos for every song. So a visual concept breakup EP. It's a mouthful. I think each track I've been kind of looking at as a little vignette in a way of like a specific mood or feeling. And so for I Don't Want to Think About That, it's all in the title, you know. It's like, I don't want to think about that, but here are all the things that I'm thinking about. It is this idea of, you know, when you go through a breakup or you're going through a tough time, you have this kind of like circular thinking where you keep ending up back at the same place. And the more you tell yourself, I don't want to think about that, the more you end up thinking about it. Musically, I was listening to a ton. I've been listening to a ton of pop punk again lately. You know, like Blink 182 and Simple Plan and, you know, all the good stuff from what I guess when I was growing up. And so the instrumentation took on a somewhat rocky pop punk, a little bit twist. And then we tossed in some synths in there for good measure. So it's kind of the most upbeat rocky song that I've released, I would say. And I'm super excited to see how people react to it.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I really loved the idea of each track having its own music video. Do you think that's important? Because I know a lot of artists want, you know, listeners to be able to tie in the tracks that they're releasing with something visually, because it kind of adds more to the story and gives them something like a little bit extra. So what made you decide to do that for every single track on this particular EP?
Yeah, so I've actually only done maybe two music videos ever. And I think the thing with music videos, they can either follow the storyline of the song and be pretty literal, or they can be their own interpretation of it, I guess. So for a lot of the songs on the EP, and I Don't Want to Think About That included, I worked with Trent Millspaugh and Gabe Drexler, two amazing videographers, filmmakers in Nashville. And we kind of made the video project almost like a separate entity in a way. So just as the EP is a concept EP, the visual EP is a concept in its own way. So for the video for this new single, it's just me and my friends bowling and playing in a bowling alley in Nashville, that they let us use before they opened. Shout out to Donaldson Strike and Spare, my favorite bowling alley in Nashville. For this one, I think for the whole EP, it was kind of just, again, these snapshots of my life and snapshots of me with my friends doing things that we enjoy. The best times I have are when I'm with my friends. So I'm glad that that all the videos for the EP, I think, reflect that in some way.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it gives listeners and your fans a way to kind of get to know you indirectly, like seeing someone have fun hanging out with their friends. It's just kind of a cool way to like connect with artists that you don't know, or maybe, you know, you want to know more about, but there's more to a person than what they write in a song or what they say in an interview. So I'm going to have to remember that name of that bowling alley, because I'm going to Nashville at the end of this month. And
it's awesome. It's a classic.
I'm stopping by.
You know, you pay like $5 and it's just a good class. You know, you can't find that many classic bowling alleys anymore. That sounds like a weird, annoying thing to say, I'm sure, but like, you know, there's something to it. You just go, there's like, you know, an arcade machine, there's a little claw machine, and
I love a good claw machine.
And yeah, it's just a good, I feel like everyone loves bowling, and I also really love bowling, and my friends give me a lot of shit for that because I keep trying to get them to go bowling. So this video was really my secret way of just getting them to go bowl with me.
Yeah, you're like, listen, a bunch of people
will watch you.
They'll watch you, but you got to go bowling with me. I mean, listen, I'm always down to go bowling, but people know, my friends know, it's going into the gutter almost every time. Just
I'm the opposite. I'm like super competitive and I think pretty good at bowling. So I'm like, listen, guys, we're taking this shit seriously. We're bowling. This is not fun.
The thing is, though, I take it seriously and then it still goes in the gutter. Okay. And then I end up getting mad and not actually mad, but I'm like, come on, can I get one? Right. And then they're doing great. So it ends up being fun for them at the end of the day. I still have fun. It's just, it's a bit of a struggle, but what are you going to do? It's not my calling, I guess. But at least, at least you're good at it and you like it. That's a plus.
Yeah, that's all you can ask for.
I know you said that the concept EP is called Spin Cycle. I want to know kind of how you came up with that name and how you landed on that.
Yeah, so I wrote this song, Spin Cycle, with my good friend and co-writer Claire Flint in Nashville. And we were just kind of talking about how breakups and how relationships work and how it is kind of it's like a spin cycle. You get caught back in that, what I was saying about the circular thinking. And so that ended up being a lyric in that song and then the song itself. And I've been kind of trying to tie together a lot of these songs to make the EP. And I think Spin Cycle is, a good short way to sum it all up in this for this concept. And so for the video for Spin Cycle, which is coming out, in a couple of months, we filmed it in a laundromat in Nashville. And it's actually pretty funny because I moved to Nashville 6 years ago to go to Vanderbilt. And the night before I moved in, I had to do a bunch of laundry. So I went to a laundromat and we ended up filming it at the same laundromat. So in a way, it's symbolic, maybe too symbolic, maybe too cheesy and campy, but it is the full circle, the full circle of Spin Cycle.
No, I love it. And it's crazy because I wanted to say, but I was like, nah, I feel like that's not related. When I first saw Spin Cycle, the name of it, I was like, this reminds me of a laundromat. Is this a washing machine? Is it a rinse cycle? But I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't think so. So
no, that's exactly what it is.
I have a habit of talking too much. And the one time that I'm like, let me stop, I missed it. So, but you know what? It comes with the job. So it's funny that you said that because that's exactly what I thought of when I first saw it. So, the message did get across. It just lost in translation right there. But I absolutely love that concept and idea and kind of the full circle ending thing of, starting at the laundromat and then the music video being at the laundromat and the relationship. It just, the whole EP ties together, it seems like, so nicely. And I'm excited to see these visuals because I think they're going to be amazing.
Yeah, they're pretty fun. They're all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, you got the bowling alley, the laundromat. Can you give us another location that we may see in one of these videos?
Yeah, I'll give a couple sneak peeks. One of them, which is the next single called Anaconda Hearts, takes place in our house, featuring a couple live boa constrictors on my body, which was very scary. But
oh, that's some Billie Eilish
awesome.
Shit.
I know. Well, that's the craziest thing. We had made this video months ago and we're getting ready to release and we're all excited. And then Billie Eilish drops this unreal song with an unreal video and a huge anaconda. And I was like, no, are people going to think I'm copying her? I swear I was doing this before I knew about this.
I mean, she's done it all. So I feel like even if you breathe, they'll be like, you're copying Billie.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one of them. I'm very excited about that one. And then the other track that'll come out when the whole EP comes out on June 18th called Good Guy. And that one is, again, me and my friends just playing baseball at our local baseball field. And it's a very fun sandlot vibe.
Okay, you're killing me, Smalls. I like that.
Exactly, exactly.
I like that a lot. Guys, you got to look forward to all of those music videos. And then the music, of course, on this EP. Do you think that these singles are kind of like a new sound, a new side to Theo that maybe listeners haven't heard before? Or is it something kind of that goes in the same direction as what you've released in the past?
I hope people will just kind of breathe a sigh of relief. That's kind of how this EP has felt in a way, like sinking into a sound that I feel like I've been chasing for a really long time. So I started off, when I was writing music in the beginning, it was a lot of folk stuff, very folk, Bob Dylan, Pete Seeger, Simon and Garfunkel, the works. And so that's kind of my basis in songwriting. And over the last couple of years, I've definitely gotten more into pop and pop production. So the couple singles that I've released before now, like Everybody Else or Cheerios and Chocolate Milk, are kind of more in that pop way. And this EP kind of feels like settling down somewhere in the middle, where the songs themselves are singer-songwriter songs, you know, like lyrical and, I don't know, personal. But the production kind of takes it in a few different directions. And so again, I kind of feel like I'm settling into a sound that makes sense for me, that kind of came out naturally. And I'm very excited for people to hear that.
Yeah, that's always a great, I feel like, not a realization, but just like a great point to get at. You know, I think it's just like, yeah, breathing a sigh of relief. I feel like this is where I want to be, and this is the stuff that I want to be releasing. And it can take people a really long time to get there. So I know that's going to be really exciting for everyone to hear. And it does come across to listeners as well. I don't know about you, but there are times where I was following an artist from the jump, and it kind of was like, I don't know what they're doing here, but I like it. But I hope that they kind of figure it out, because you didn't know what to expect from them. And that was fun at first, but then you kind of wanted like a cohesive vibe, not exactly genre, but just kind of like you wanted to get to know them as an artist sonically. Yeah. And so once they reach that, I feel like it just comes across, even if it's subconscious, for a listener. And it's like, damn, this is what I've been waiting for. Like, this sounds so good. This EP or album is just what I needed to hear from them. I don't know if you get that feeling too with artists, but that's exactly how I feel when it kind of happens for especially someone who started out small, and then, you know, they're starting to build a fan base and they're collaborating, and then they're finally figuring out their sound, and it's like, boom, there it is.
Yeah, that's definitely, I mean, that is definitely how I've been thinking about it. I've been putting out music for like, or seriously for like 2 years now. And it feels a lot of the time like, or it felt for a while like I was jumping all over the place. And someone would say like, you know, what kind of music do you make? And I was like, I don't fucking know, man. Like, I have no idea. And it feels good to, I don't know, solidify what I think my sound should be and what it is, at least right now. Because, you know, it'll keep changing. But I hope that people, if they listen to the whole discography, they'll see a through line, at least in the songwriting and the lyric process, and maybe even just an evolution in the sound production as well.
Definitely. I completely agree. I think it's tricky because I always talk about this, but it's like, I call it artist in a box syndrome, when people are like, what's your genre? What's your sound? And then they kind of trap you in it, where it's like, well, you said you do pop music. Now why are you kind of sounding like you're doing alt stuff, or whatever the case is? And I think that's different than kind of knowing who you are as an artist. And it's tricky to explain, but you know, you can listen to someone and they can have a ton of different genres going through like an EP, but you still know from track to track, this is who they really are as an artist. Like, they're doing what they want to do. This is unique to them. And then there's sometimes where I love an artist, but I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, let me do some jazz. And it's just like, I can feel them struggling.
Yeah.
And
I think
maybe just leave them in the vault for right now until we know what's going on.
Yeah. I think, I mean, some of the best artists, like some of my favorite artists, you know, Jackson Browne, the Eagles, or John Mayer, or, you know, any of the people that you think of, Elton John, as like the best artists. You could say like, well, what kind of music were they? And you would just say like, he makes Elton John music. And
exactly.
The rest is kind of, you're along for the ride with the sound, but at its core, it's still that artist's music, you know, their own genre. And so that's kind of what I hope, that's one of my big goals, my career goals, I guess, is to have, you know, Theo Kandel music and have people buy into that in one way or another.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. That was a great way to kind of phrase it and tie it all together. Yeah, no one ever goes like, oh yeah, Elton John's genre is, or just like, that sounds like some Elton John shit. That's awesome.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
and that's kind of where it ends. Or like, there was a lot going on there. I guess that kind of ties into my next question. That kind of journey, finding yourself as an artist, can be extremely difficult, but what would you say so far? You know, you've been putting out music for the past 2 years. What do you think has been the biggest challenge so far as an artist?
Well, COVID notwithstanding, I feel like no one wants to hear about an artist whine about COVID anymore. But the hardest part is getting your music heard. And I think that that is something I hope that people can relate to, because, you know, even without or even with shows happening, you can play music to a room of 50 people and it's the best thing ever. But you keep wanting more people to hear it. And I think that's one of the big struggles right now, which is why, you know, going on podcasts like this and doing interviews and stuff is like one of my favorite things to do, just to talk about it and to try to expand how many people will hear it. Because, you know, I believe in my music. I don't think I would be making it if I didn't. But my hope is that other people can believe in it too and find a little bit of themselves in it. Getting people to listen to it is a struggle, and it's also the thrill. And I think hopefully it'll be ultimately rewarding in the end. But for now, that's been definitely the biggest challenge to tackle.
Yeah, I can see how that is definitely a big challenge and something that's so important to everybody. As an artist, you want to make sure people are hearing your work and enjoying it and it's getting to the right ears, because you don't want to make music and then have it reach, you know, half the amount of people that you would like it to reach. I think with time and everything, it will get into the hands of the right people, especially shout out to Spotify, but especially with Spotify and streaming platforms and stuff like that, Discover Weekly. I think it's insane how fast we are discovering new artists and new bands that we fall in love with super quickly that we had never heard of before, and how fast people are skyrocketing, especially with social media and all that that has going on right now. Speaking of social media, what would you say is your biggest or your most favorite platform to use on social media?
Well, you know, I'm not trying to isolate anyone here, but I do love TikTok. I think TikTok has been, it's a wild ride. I was fortunate enough to go like semi-viral earlier in 2020. I started doing some bluegrass covers of pop punk songs with my roommates. The Mr. Brightside one took off and people really seemed to enjoy it. So TikTok, you know, is the way that people are finding like unheard of artists that don't hit their Discover Weekly and that they aren't combing through the fans also like on Spotify. I think TikTok is, for all of the shit that people give it, it's super, super valuable, because TikTok is, you know, it's transient almost. You like got to hop on the ride and hope that people join you. And that's what's been super fun for me, just to experiment, to see what people want to see, to see what people want to hear. And so I think in that way, TikTok is kind of the top right now. But, you know, all the other platforms too are doing their own kind of little versions of it now, with Instagram Reels and Snapchat Spotlight. These apps and platforms make it that much easier to get heard. And I think the reaction on TikTok and a bunch of these apps have been pretty positive. So it's kind of a good boost in confidence. But it's also just fun, you know, and I'll scroll through my TikTok feed for like hours and hours and not know what I'm doing.
I could not agree more. You know, I always have to be super honest on this show, because obviously tea time, drama, we know. But I used to shit on TikTok. I was that person that shit on TikTok all the time. I hated it. I didn't know why everyone was on it. I had it on my phone, but I like didn't have an account. Like I had the account, but I never went on it. And my roommates would be like learning dances and acting crazy and reciting all of these like viral things. And I was like, you guys are wasting your time. It's so stupid. And then once the pandemic really started, I was like, what is this TikTok shit anyway? And I kind of went on it. And from there, I was like, damn, this is a whole new world. I was wrong. I take it back. It did take me a couple of months to get over it. But honestly, it's pretty sick. So,
and it shows you what you want to see. Like the more you interact, the better stuff you get.
Insane. I don't know how they do it. It's just, it blows me away. But you did take the words out of my mouth, because I was going to mention the Mr. Brightside bluegrass TikTok has over 3 million views.
Oh my God.
Super impressive. And I know are loving it and they're still sharing it and stuff like that. Comments are still rolling in. I thought it was super creative. So I definitely want to talk about TikTok. How did that journey for you start on TikTok with kind of like your little bluegrass music series? Was that something that you had been doing with, you know, your friends, and then you were like, hey, we should put this on TikTok? Or did the concept come up after, you know, you were messing around on TikTok and then you were like, hey, you guys want to try this?
I mean, this sounds ridiculous, but it was 100% organic. I bought a banjo the week before, and a couple of my friends, again, I'd never played banjo, but I was like, let me give it a shot. Why not? I'm in Nashville. And so a couple of my friends were in town that were in my a cappella group in college called the Melodors. We were just messing around. We were like, we should do some covers for TikTok. None of us have gone viral yet, and we really want to. And so we were just messing around with a little folk version of Mr. Brightside. And then I pulled out the banjo, and it was kind of game over after that. We did the video. We posted it. We went to sleep and then woke up in the morning with like 100,000 views. And it just kept picking up, which is, I mean, it's terrifying. You don't really realize how many people are in the world until people start commenting on your TikToks. And it just kept growing. And then Barstool reached out and they said, hey, can we post this on our Instagram? And I was like, oh my God. And I got a DM from Barstool Sports, which was just super exciting. So it's been a whole journey. Since then, we did a bunch more videos that all did really well. And so the key was, you know, trying to tell people after, like, hey, I actually don't make bluegrass music. I'm a pop singer, songwriter, whatever. You should also check that out. I mean, in a total way, it's been one of the best helps to my career this year. Helped me launch like a Discord and a community of loyal fans and cool people who we just chat about things, and they join my TikTok lives and we have a great time. So it's been awesome having not been able to play shows to still interact with fans in that way.
I think that's amazing. And you know, it's real when you get a DM from Barstool Sports. Yes, that is so a true dream. I'm super glad we chatted about TikTok, because I know there's a lot going on your page, and so many people love what you do with the covers and snippets of your own music and stuff like that. And I think you're completely right when you say that it is really a great opportunity for artists and space for fans to connect with new artists or their favorite artists. So that's amazing. And I know you have a ton of new music coming out soon, so everyone needs to stick around, follow you on TikTok, but also the rest of social media, because it's not dead, guys. I mean, please. Sort of, but not really. And stick around, because it's coming out soon, June 18th, new EP. And as a final question, if you could pick one major goal for the rest of this year, what would you say it would be? It could be about music or just life in general. What's one thing you want to accomplish or do before 2021 ends?
I want to play some shows. I mean, COVID permitting, I would love to just meet some of the new people that have gotten into the music and travel around and, you know, do more road trips and play more music for people all around. So that's definitely one of my big goals, and we're working on that now. So I think we got some big things in the works, but I just want to meet people. I just want to see people again, you know, and play my music for them and hopefully have them enjoy it.
Yes, that is the most 2021 thing I've ever heard. I just want to meet people again.
I just want to touch people again.
That sounds so bad, but I totally get it. Like, I just want to see human beings. Like, is that going to happen? Are we moving forward? Is this just never going to end? We'll see. I, for one, will be seeing people in the fall, whether or not anything is permitted. I will be hosting my own concerts. I will honestly go against anyone and put, like, I'm going to open up Madison Square Garden, whether the doors are open or not. And like, people need to show up, because if there are no concerts in by the fall, like, or they get canceled again, like, I may as well just not be here, because I'm going to be super upset. So
I agree with you. I'll be with you banging on the gates.
Yeah. I will open up the gates, guys. Not actually. So please don't come after me, but
the metaphorical gates.
Yeah, I will open them up like it's happening. So that's all I have for today. I want to thank you again for coming on That's the Tea with Alessandra G and chatting away with me about your new music, new single coming out, new EP, obviously a bunch of music videos. Your fans have so much to look forward to, and I know they're all really excited. Keep the content coming, because we know you want it.
Yay, thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another segment of Friday Features on That's the Tea with Alessandra G. Huge shout out to DistroKid for sponsoring this podcast. Be sure to check out the link for my discount code, which is in the description of this episode, also in my link tree if you need it. I also want to thank Theo for joining us and opening up about his career so far. I'm really excited to hear the new music. Mark your calendars for his upcoming EP, Spin Cycle, which will be released on Friday, June 18th. And before you go, I do have a final and very important last message for you all. Stay safe out there, friends, and wash your damn hands.